The title of our lesson today is Stand Still. Our devotional background study comes from the book of Job, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straitened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearkeneth unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, I'll ask teachers to take charge.
Everybody has their book. Let's turn to our lesson today, and it's entitled Stand Still, and it's taken from the 14th chapter of Exodus, which I'll do some reading now, verses 1 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt, and the people fled, And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now, that's our reading lesson. And our title is Stand Still, which will lead us to our lesson subject, which is going to be on patience. Now, I'm sure we all have patience, right? Am I right about that? We all are patient people. And I see a lot of eye rollings going on. So. But the title of the lesson is Stand Still. Now, to give you, I forgot to give you a little background of this. You know, this was when Moses went to get the people out of Egypt, and he did all the miracles, and they had all the plagues. And finally, Pharaoh gave them permission to go. Now, we find in the 12th chapter of Exodus, and the 37th verse, it says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children." Now, I want you to visualize this. I want you to visualize this was a great body of people. There was 600,000 men. And let's just assume that these were men. And when the scriptures talk about men, they mean men of a certain age and up. So if you say that the vast majority of these men were married, then you're already looking at 1 million people. I mean, when Moses went and got these people out of Egypt, he didn't just take a crew with him out of there. There had to be at least probably 1 million people, including women and children and some of the people of Egypt that the scriptures say. There were some people that didn't even believe in God that went with them. So we're looking at 1 million plus people that followed Moses out of Ramesses. And it said they moved to this area and they camped. Now, I didn't check to see how far this was, but I mean, it's 1 million people. To get them to move from here to wherever it is over here, that's going to take some time. So they're moving slow. Now, you see, Pharaoh had a second thought on this. It said God hardened his heart again. And he had a second thought. And the people in Egypt were saying, "Why have we let these people go? They were our slaves. They were our servants. They were doing our work. And now we've said, let them go." So Pharaoh said, "Okay, we're not going to let them go." So he mounts on his chariots, thousands and thousands, maybe, of chariots, because it said other people, not only his own, but others. And they lit after Moses and God's people. Well, what's the first thing that happened? They started complaining. Now, we've never lived a life like this, but I ask, how many people have patience? How many people have complained? And we all complain. Well, these people, but this is 1 million people that's there that's beginning to get a little worried, because they probably can look back across the plains and they can probably see all the dust from the chariots that are coming after them. And they start complaining to Moses, "Look, you know, we told you, you should have left us alone and let us serve Egypt. You should have let us live there and we could have died there. And now you've got us out here in the middle of the wilderness and the Egyptians are coming after us. And oh my goodness, we're going to die right here. And there's no graveyards here. There's no Hebrew graves. I mean, we're just all going to perish right here and there." You got to give Moses credit for one thing. He had some patience now. He had something about him that made the people want to follow him. And now he told them something in our lesson. And he told them in the 13th verse, he says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." Now that's what he told them, "Fear ye not." Now Moses said, well, he didn't say this, it was, I mean, not here anyway, but Moses knew he could see probably the dust as well as these other people could. He was feeling probably nearly the same thing that these other people were feeling. There's only one difference. Moses had a faith in God that was unshakable at this point in time. And he told his people, he said, "Fear ye not, stand still. Fear ye not, stand still. And what? And see the salvation of the Lord." Not being saved, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about deliverance. See the deliverance that God is going to bring you. Because these Egyptians that you're seeing out there right now that are coming toward us, you'll not see them anymore. Ever again, you won't see them. Stand still. You know, if we ever want God to help us in any way, to do anything for us, the first thing we're going to have to do is get out of His way. Because that's the biggest stumbling block to God helping His people, is us being in God's way. Moses told these people to stand still. Don't worry about this that's coming. Just be patient. All this is going to be taken care of. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, about the 36th verse, I think, Paul says, "Ye have need of patience." Boy, don't we all have need of patience. Don't we all need at one time or another just to stand still and let God take over? Don't we need to do that? In the 40th division of Psalms, David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry." Think about that. I waited patiently for God. He heard my cry. He answered my prayers. And I waited on Him. I was still. I was right here, waiting for God to answer my prayer. Now, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Go figure. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So you see, we look at a problem one way. God looks at it in a completely different way. One that we may not even know. That we may not even realize. Now these million plus people that were standing there waiting for the Egyptians to ride down upon them and slay them unmercifully, it never dawned on them what the solution was. I mean, they were just scared. That's all they were. They were just scared. And they weren't warriors. They weren't soldiers. They were just people like us, that saw this thing that was happening to them and was absolutely had no clue about how to handle the situation. It was no problem for God. That tens of thousands of Egyptian charioteers coming down upon the people of Israel, you think that was an issue for God? Now, it was a big issue to these people. They couldn't see a way out. But it was nothing to God. And I'll tell you another instance. Elijah. No, it wasn't. It was Elijah. I think it was Elijah. It could be Isaiah, but I think it was Elijah. He was... The Syrians were... I didn't read that. I'm having to think now. The Syrians were attacking Israel. And Elijah, I think it was giving... Of course, God was giving him the answers. Elijah was giving the king of Israel what all the Syrians were doing, where they were coming from and where they were going to do battle at. And so every time the Syrians came, there was Israelites. And so the king of the Syrians said, well, what is going on? How do they know everything we're doing? And the people said, well, it's Elijah. He's out there telling them what all we're doing. So he said, all right, I want my whole army. I want you to go get Elijah. And I want you to bring him to me. So Elijah was in this little town, in this little village, and he had his servant with him. And so they went to sleep, and the servant woke up the next morning, and he looked out the door. I'm paraphrasing all this. And he saw the Syrian army completely encircled this little village that they were in. Completely. And I guess he went over and woke Elijah up and said, my goodness, what are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do? Well, Elijah, never to be one to panic, got up and said, or looked out, saw what was going on, fell to his knees and said, I pray to you, God, that you will open his eyes and let him see what I'm seeing. Because he told his servant, we're more than them. And the servant said, there's only two of us. What do you mean we're more than them? And Elijah prayed and he said, open his eyes. And God opened the servant's eyes. And he looked out. And on every hill, it said there were chariots of fire. Because God was there. His angels were there. And they said they circled the entire encampment of enemy soldiers. And the servant saw this. And you know what Elijah did? He talked to God. God talked to the angels. And they took care of it. It was nothing to God to take these charioteers of Pharaoh and vanish them, so that the people would never see him again. Because he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Why? Because I'm God. That's who. You go tell them I am sent you. That's what he told Moses. You go tell them I am sent you. Oh, there's power in that. There's power in that I am. Moses said, who will I tell them sent me? They won't believe me. He said, you go tell them I am sent you. In the 14th chapter of Proverbs, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. But it says that way leads to death. Now, God told those people, or Moses told those people, to be still. That's what we need to do today. We need to be still. We need to let God do the work. I don't even know Yesterday, I helped Jennifer and Ian till up a garden spot. Ian had never used a tiller before. And I told him, I said, grab a hold of it, but you let the tiller do the work. Because if you do the work, you're going to kill yourself. You just stand there and let the tiller do the work. Listen, we need to stand there and let God do the work. If we don't, we're going to kill ourselves. God is there ready and able to help us do and accomplish what it is that needs to be accomplished. Now, it may not be exactly how you want it to be accomplished. How many times has that happened? How many times has God done something for us that we thought, I'd have never done it that way? And what does He mean by doing that? And why, where is He in my time of need? Well, He's there. He's going to do it in His own time because we just read where He said, my ways are not your ways. So why are we fighting God when His way is not our way? And it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but it leads to death. So why are we following our own ways? When we see so many examples, if we'll just turn it over to God, if we'll just have the patience to say, God, I need your help. And if you don't mind, I'll just step over here out of your way and let you handle it. Now that may be simplistic. You know, I don't mean to make fun or make joke of what God can do for us, but we do. We as a people need to step out of the way and say, God, here it is. I can't do anything about this. This is going to have to come for you if it's going to be handled at all. He's there waiting. He's there waiting. 46th division of Psalms, it says, be still and know that I am God. Boy, isn't there a bunch of words in that? Be still and know that I am God. That's what He said. Be still and know that I am God. Well, we all can sit here, those of us who have been saved, and I think everybody here this morning has professed to salvation. We can all say, well, I know God. Well, you may know Him to the free pardon of your sin, but if you're standing in His way and not letting Him have His will in your life, you don't know Him well enough. Because He said, be still and know that I am God. Too many times we try to handle the problems our own way. Too many times we strive to do things in our own time. I want this, and I want it done now. That's kind of how we are. I want this, and I want it now. Well, that's not how it works. Many times, God has His own time frame. He has His own way. Listen, He knows things about us and about the issues that we might have in our life that we've never even thought of. We've never even thought. He knows things about me that I have never thought of. Because I can't think of what I'm going to do 30 seconds from now, but God already knows what it is I'm going to do. He knows everything about us. Terry read this. No. Who did the... I'm blank. Terry, okay. I just went out there. Terry read this from the book of Job, 37th chapter, 14th verse, where one of Job's friends entreats Job to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Man, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could just do that? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we just had the patience to move over here and look around and not just see it, but take it to heart, the wondrous works of God. I believe it'd be amazing if we would just take the time to do it. It's like stop and smell the roses. You know, it's like you see the roses, but you forget how they smell because you ain't got time to bother to pick one up and sniff it. You just don't have time to do that. Oh, that looks pretty. That's fine. I'm out of here. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And that's what Moses wanted the people to do. He wanted them to stand still because they were about to see the wondrous works of God. Y'all know what he did, don't you? He parted this water. Now, a lot of people like to say, well, you know how he parted it? I just read this here recently. They had now discovered that there is a certain wind that blows up this river, and it blows strong enough that it pushes the water backwards. And it was a strong wind that pushed the water backwards. But that ain't what the Bible says. That's not what God did. God parted the sea. He parted, and he said they stepped across on dry land. Now, you're not going to just blow the water back and the land be all dry. God did that. I don't know if he used a wind or not. I don't have a clue. But he made this world. He spoke it into existence. And if he could speak you into existence, he could look at that water and say, part. Now, I told you last time I was here that Jesus walked out on that deck of that ship and he told the sea to calm down. And I told you, I believe that it immediately smoothed out. I still believe that today. That wasn't no everyday occurrence. That was Jesus himself telling that sea to calm itself down. And it did. And God told that sea, that water, to part. Because my children are going through there. Now those people couldn't see that. They didn't know what was going to be done. But Moses told them, God said, to be still. Stand right there and you're going to see something. And they were taken safely away. And as far as I know, they never saw those Egyptians again because the biggest majority of them drowned in the sea as it was released. Stand still. That's my lesson. We need to stand still and see the salvation of God. See his deliverance. Ask him for help. He's waiting to help us. I think he likes to help us. I really do. I think the scriptures bear that out. He likes to help us. But he wants us to be willing to move out of the way. Let him do his work. Not like you want it done, but like God wants it done. Anybody have anything to say?
I got a question. It says over here in your lesson, talking about there was none died over when they was captured in Egypt. Was it all the 400 years they were counting up there, or was none died?
No, I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it's talking about from battles, from Pharaoh's army. No. They had a natural life cycle. I think this was us. This was speaking that. Everybody that he brought out, he took over.
See, they brought the bones of Jonah.
Yeah.
Joseph.
Right.
I don't think he brought anybody else out.
Anybody else? Brother Parker, would you dismiss us?
I never thought we would have this day long. We thank you for that. God, I never thought we would have a good lesson this morning. We're just a little.